the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, here's what I mean by that. I mean, we know that Jesus is the real hope of the world, right? Jesus is the real hope of the world. But the local church is the local expression of Jesus. At least it should be, right? We are, to a lost and dying world, we are the only Jesus a lot of people are ever going to see. And so that's what I mean when I say the local church is the hope of the world. The impact of a local church is so real to me. Just understanding a little bit of my background, that I wasn't raised in church, and it was a local church, Bethany Christian Assembly in Everett, Washington, that impacted my life and my eternity and the life and eternity of my family. My father found Jesus when he was 40 years old. Up to that point, he had lived a pretty rough life. He was an alcoholic. And my dad's one of those guys that when he found Jesus, he didn't need a 12-step program. Nothing against 12-step programs. But for my dad, anyway, he needed a one-step program. The day my father asked Jesus into his heart is the day he quit drinking. That bondage of alcohol was broken, just like that. Before my dad came to Christ, he had a wall that just seemed like it was a mile wide between him and God. And I think the whole time he really had belief in God. He had somewhat of a faith in God. But my dad had a real problem with the church. He didn't trust the church. He didn't trust pastors. So you can imagine how excited he was when, at the age of 16, I came to my father and said, "Dad, God's called me to be a pastor." Yeah, he didn't do that. No. My dad was so resistant. He didn't want anybody from the church to show up at our house for anything. He didn't want to hear from any of the pastors of our church. He was very disillusioned with church. But a number of events started taking place in my dad's life that started to open his heart up. And you know how life is. Sometimes it's the difficulties that actually bring us to a place where God can finally speak to us. My dad went through a number of real physical and financial difficulties. He was diabetic, and he had a number of complications from diabetes. In his mid-30s, he had to have a leg amputated, had to take an early retirement from his work. This put an incredible financial stress on our family. I know what it's like to not have food in the house. I know what it's like to be extremely poor, to not be able to buy clothing, adequate clothing. I know what that harshness of life can be like, believe me. But it was in that time that my dad started to open up his heart. And one of the things that happened is because of my dad's physical problems and because of our poverty, our house was in incredible disrepair in a lot of different ways. But one particularly visible thing was we had this huge front porch, huge wood front porch that was falling apart. I mean, the wood was rotting, there were boards missing. It was actually dangerous to come to our house. And it looked terrible. It was it was dangerous. Then one Saturday morning, without being announced, just out of the blue, two pickup truck loads of lumber and about 10 men from my home church showed up at my house. And they came up, they knocked on the door, and they just said, "John, we're here to fix your porch." They don't only fix the porch, big, huge porch. They tore the whole thing apart and started all over. And by the end of the day, there was a brand new porch in front of our house. In the next couple of weeks, they came, they painted everything, and it was incredible. It was beautiful. My dad didn't give his heart to the Lord the very next Sunday or anything like that. It took a couple more years, but I know this, That was the turning point in my father's attitude toward the church. My dad stopped saying bad things about pastors, about churches, and his heart started to open up. And I believe that these guys, just ordinary working guys, were every bit as instrumental in my dad coming to Jesus as the pastor that preached the sermon the Sunday he gave his life to the Lord. This is what I mean by the local church is the hope of the world. Remember this, I'm going to say it a few times this morning. Every need is an opportunity. Every need is an opportunity. Jesus demonstrates this throughout the gospel. In one place in particular I want us to look at this morning, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Every need is an opportunity. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." For every need, there's an opportunity. These people obviously were in great need. It says they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But this need was an opportunity for Jesus to make a difference in their lives. Now, how many of you would say this morning that our world is in great need this morning? Right? Incredible need. Incredible need. Virtually every single arena of our culture is becoming corrupt. Right? From home life to our government to corporate corruption. Our society, our cultural disdain for the nuclear family. The dehumanization of preborn children, pornography, sex trafficking, sex abuse. Our world today is in incredible need, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And as Christians, we are faced with a decision. Will we wash our hands of it all? And just say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, get me out of this mess." Or will we do what Jesus did? And while we're here, engage in a culture that needs Christ. Will we have the heart of Jesus? I am so thankful that Jesus, when he looked at the world, didn't turn to his Father and say, "I give up. Man, these people have been such a mess for such a long time. Let's just obliterate them." You know, because he could have. Come on, he could have. But instead of doing that, he did just the opposite. He came into the world, and he's the one that died on a cross. So what I'm talking about this morning in terms of the local church being the hope of the world, it starts with us having the heart of Jesus. Recognizing how much he loves us, which motivates us to love him, which in turn motivates us to love the people he loves. It's a heart change. Jesus chose to rescue, to redeem, and to reconcile. And so when I think about our vision as a church, it starts right there. We need to be fulfilling the vision and purpose of Jesus Christ to redeem, to reconcile, to restore. Now, I want to back up in this passage of Scripture. There's some key words. I'd like you to just, if you've got your Bible open, maybe circle these key words. If you're using a device, maybe highlight them. There's some key words that I think just show us so much about Jesus here. The first word I want you to circle is the word went. Jesus went. He went. He went to people. Jesus was engaged with people. He didn't just, you know, build a building somewhere and hang out there and say, you come to me, Jesus. Jesus went out there. He engaged with people. And this is what God wants us to do as his people. God wants us to go. He wants us to be the goers. He wants us to be the doers. I love church. Guys, you know that. I love Sundays. I love church. I love hanging out with you. But Jesus calls us to be salt and light in our world, right? And so when he talks about us being light in our world, he's not talking about being lighter in the light we already have. He's talking about the need in the dark places for the light to go, right? And so we don't just shine our light at church on Sunday mornings. I mean, fantastic, but really where the light is needed is in the darkness, right? And the salt's got to get out of the salt shaker. Doesn't do any good in the salt shaker. So Jesus, he went, he engaged with people, and that's what he wants us to do. Never underestimate God's ability to use you to make a difference in someone's life. Right? How many of you this morning, you would describe yourself as an introvert? You'd say, I'm kind of an introvert. Would you raise your hand just honestly? You tend to be more of an introvert. Okay? Numbers of you, yeah, sure. Listen, introverts arise. Listen, you don't have to be an extrovert to make a difference for Jesus. You don't have to be an extrovert. I mean, if the whole world was extroverts, what a pain that would be. Right? Thank God for people that are introverts. The reality is, you're going to connect with people that I would never be able to connect with. I was just last week, I was in this conversation with people, and I was just so excited about this conversation. I was excited about talking to them, and I was like pointing at them when I was talking to them. And then afterwards, Janice just took me aside as a loving wife does and says, Tim, you were so aggressive with those people. People don't like to be pointed at. And I was like, yeah, oh yeah, you're right. And it was just me, you know, being excited about meeting people and wanting to engage them. The reality is, I'm sure my personality turns some people off. I know it's hard to believe, but it's probably true. And there are people in this world that need someone just like you to represent Jesus to them. So that's the first word is the word went. And then just quickly, I'll just mention these words. Jesus went doing something. It says that he was teaching, proclaiming, and healing. Teaching, proclaiming, and healing. What a description, what a great job description for the church. This is what we're to be doing, teaching, proclaiming, and healing. There's a lot of hurt out there that needs to be healed. And not all of it's physical. You know, right? A lot of it's emotional, mental, relational. And so this is the task of the church. Teaching, proclaiming, healing. And then I want you to also notice the word saw. Jesus saw the crowds. He saw the crowds. Jesus wants us to open our eyes and start seeing people. See people. Don't get so busy doing things in life. Don't get so busy doing things that you don't see people. I think we pass by opportunities, I believe. We get so busy, we miss the opportunities God's given to us. Take time to see people. In John chapter 4, Jesus says something pretty similar to what he's saying here. He says, don't you have a saying, it's 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, he says, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Jesus tells his disciples, come on, guys, open your eyes. Look at what's going on. Open your eyes. And I want to challenge you to open your eyes. Start opening your eyes. And I want you to look for two things. First of all, I want you to look for great needs, because they're out there. But then I want you to look for great opportunities. Open your eyes to the needs and open your eyes to the opportunities that God has given to us. Because out of every need, there's an opportunity. Open your eyes to see the difference that you can make with God's help. You know, one of the greatest threats to our spiritual lives is to stop seeing the vision that God has for us. Because when we stop seeing how God can use us, you know what we do? We start turning inward. We start looking at our own needs, our own wants, our own desires. And that is the death knell for the Christian. You know why that's the death knell? When you start getting self-focused, it's just so detrimental to your spiritual life, because it's just the opposite of Jesus. It's just the opposite of who Jesus is when we start doing that. We need to stop just looking at our own little lives, and we need to get a vision for the world around us. One of the great ways that we're able to do this as a church is through Convoy of Hope. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I got to spend a little bit of time with the leadership of Convoy of Hope this last week. This is a ministry that we support here at Bethel Church and plan on continuing to support as long as the Lord enables us to do so. Currently, Convoy of Hope is feeding 160,000 children every single day around the world. Yeah. Now think about that. That's a lot of kids. 160,000 children that would not get a meal if it weren't for Convoy of Hope being there. And Convoy of Hope is only there because churches like us are there, supporting, being behind them. The reality is 160,000 kids, that's wonderful. But what they shared with us is they have 170,000 kids waiting. There's 170,000 that have actually filled out application forms to go to one of the schools where Convoy of Hope is feeding kids. And Convoy can't take them yet. They can't take them until we, the church, until we give more. And so I'm so excited about what we gave last year. Last year, as a church, we gave over $20,000 to Convoy of Hope. It's fantastic. So exciting. That fed 172 children for the entire year. 172 kids that we fed for the entire year. I love that. But we got to do better this year. We got to do better this year. And so, I set a goal this year that I sent to Convoy of Hope. Last year we gave $20,000. I'm challenging our church this year to give $30,000 to Convoy of Hope. Now, you might look at our financial report and say, man, how can we give any more? Because in the natural, you know, that might be how it looks. But I'm telling you, when it comes to feeding hungry kids, God's going to bless that. God's going to bless it. I believe that there are times, not all the time, but I believe there are times where you can give yourself out of a bad financial situation. Like actually giving more away is the actual answer. And so this year, let's do our best to increase how many kids we're going to serve, how many kids are going to not go hungry because of the ministry and the generosity of Bethel Church. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? And so this year, our annual, we've changed the time, our annual One Day to Feed the World offering, we've moved it from the fall because we realized last year we do a lot of asks in the fall. And so we've moved it this year to this spring, and we're going to do our One Day to Feed the World offering on Mother's Day this year, on Mother's Day. And the reason I chose Mother's Day is as moms in our culture, we're just trying to figure out what our kids will eat, right? Aren't we? We're like, what can I actually get my kids to eat? Moms in other places of the world are trying to figure out where they're going to get food for their kids to eat. That's their problem. And so, Mother's Day is going to be the perfect day for us to do one day to feed the world offering. Let's go for it. Amen? Let's go for it. Another exciting thing, and this reflects on last year, but we're looking forward to this year. We have developed this wonderful partnership with McLaughlin Middle School. So it's great to do things overseas, but we've got a mission field right here in Medford too, right? And we don't want to forget this mission field right here. We've just had these connections, God connections, with McLaughlin Middle School. And through that, we started, as you know, we go before school starts every year, and we beautify the grounds and take a crew down there, and we get everything ready for the kids to get there, and that's wonderful. And then we started doing the big give, where last year we provided Christmas gifts and Christmas meal for 30 families whose kids attend McLaughlin Middle School. So exciting. Again, the need is even greater than that. We can do better than that. And then something we're going to add this year, in May, we're going to do a day where we're going to do oil changes for single moms. So single moms, yeah. So we're going to do it through the middle school. We're going to do this in conjunction with the middle school. We'll work with the administrators at the middle school, and we're going to do oil changes for them. Okay, now you think, well, an oil change, well, it's like putting a porch on someone's house, right? That's what difference it makes. It starts opening up people's hearts. Guys, there is a great need out there, but for every great need, there's a great opportunity. Amen? Great opportunity. Jesus looked at these crowds and he said, they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Let's open our eyes and let's see the great need, but let's see the great opportunities that God is going to give Bethel Church. I am believing for 2017 to be our best year as a church. I believe this is going to be an exciting year. God is going to use us in mighty ways. Why do I believe that? Because I know this. I know God is on our side. God is on our side. He's on our side. God wants us to succeed. Do you believe that, church? God wants his church to succeed. I mean, the ultimate proof of that is Jesus dying on the cross. God believes in his church. God is behind his church. God wants us to succeed. This is going to be a great year if we will keep our vision where it needs to be, if we'll keep on track. We can't afford church to make church about us. Can't do that. Thank God he has saved us and brought us to this place. But it can't be about us. Until Jesus comes back, we need to roll up our sleeves and work for the kingdom of God. Amen? Work for the kingdom of God. Yeah, serve. Serve the way Jesus has served us. I want to close with one last scripture. This is a great just reminder to us of the success that God wants to give us. This is a statement that was made by one of the kings of Israel, a king by the name of Uzziah. And I love this. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5 says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet who instructed him in the fear of God. Listen to this. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. What a formula. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now, I believe that's true of you, and I believe that's true of Bethel Church. As long as we seek God, God will give us success. He'll be with us. So let's look forward to making 2017 an awesome year for the kingdom of God.